Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Baked 350 Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Superman's mullets and heroes in G-strings, women in fridges and masks that don't hide things. Basically anything Rob Liefeld did. The 90s were weird, I'm telling you, kid. Glowing armor, midriff costumes, thousands of gimmicks. The 90s were strange, and I'm glad that they're gone. Welcome to comics.
It's going to be that kind of week. I hope you have a song for tomorrow.
Oh, shoot.
I'm going to be really upset if you don't have a song somewhere in the bit tomorrow.
Will you take spoken word?
Yes, but only if you do it a la James Tiberius Kirk.
God dang it. I all right, we'll see what I can do. If I can't come up with anything, I'm not even going to try to force it. Justin just freaking raised the bar on everyone. Thanks, Justin.
That's why I just raised glasses.
But
speaking of thanking people, I want to thank our sponsors.
Hey.
Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs for everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles for you to choose and keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back in the postage-paid envelope for a new one. Or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. And they've just updated their rewards program, so you can stack up to $20 in coupons towards any purchase. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now at the link at geekcavepodcast.com. So, Darren.
Justin.
What you been doing?
Okay.
Hey, wake up. You gotta go.
Be gentle. Be gentle. Be gentle. Be gentle. It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
Welcome to another edition of Darren's First Time, where I pick up the first... where I pick up the first issue of a comic series and try to decide whether or not it's worth it to stick around, if you know what I mean. Today, we're focusing on a story involving four people who all work together. They run a diner. It's the only diner in town that's open all night long. And it's the only diner that's only open at night. The manager...
I know this one!
The manager appears to the world to be a 10-year-old girl. But her co-workers tell the customers she looks that way because of a medical condition. Oh, it is a medical condition that they all have. Vampirism.
Yes!
Yes. Let's talk about the all-nighter.
The all-nighter.
The all-nighter.
Yep. All right. Let's talk.
I'm so happy Justin is excited about this.
I think I reviewed this a while back.
Well, it's my first time.
Well, there you go.
That is the name of the diner. It's a book launched earlier this year as a Comixology original. It was written by Chip Zdarsky. You might know him from his awesome run on Daredevil. He wrote the amazing standalone Spider-Man life story. And he just started a run on Batman, which seems to be going well. Batman's paired with Tim Drake again, so I'm on board.
Yay!
Tim Drake is the best Robin. Don't at me.
I will fight you for this.
I will fight you on this. The book focuses specifically on Alex and Joy. They've grown bored of hiding during the day and working at the diner every night to keep their cover intact. They drink blood smoothies thanks to the diner's in-house slaughterhouse, and strictly speaking, they don't go after humans, or as Joy calls them, delicious, delicious humans.
Mm-hmm.
They're also worried about being discovered, and there used to be 5 people in their group before one of them screwed up and got taken by the takers. You know, there's 2 types of people in this world.
Yeah.
Givers and takers.
There are.
There's also the Undertaker, but he retired. Eventually, Alex, who is into superhero films, is on his way back home after seeing a movie when he encounters a couple being attacked by muggers. He saves them, then he takes off and realizes, oh man, I fucked up, because he might have just given away the whole, you know, vampire thing. But the idea of being a superhero is too big for him to pass up, so it becomes a nightly occurrence. And one night, he breaks up the wrong drug deal and is shot. His attacker realizes Alex is a vampire, probably because of the whole hissing at him and baring his fangs. That'll usually do it. You're either a vampire or a cat. But before he can tell anyone, he is killed by Joy, who shows up in her own superhero costume and is looking to protect the group by any means necessary, including drinking the blood of a delicious, delicious human.
Okay.
Now, the two manage to get back to the diner, and then they're confronted by a man who is well-dressed. He looks really handsome, and he calls himself Frankenstein. He's also holding the rest of the group hostage and has his own small army of guys in what I can best describe as nice black suits and gimp masks, and tells them they have a lot to talk about. No word yet on what the safe word is, though. So, as far as first times go, this one wasn't bad. The art was pleasant to look at. Storytelling offered a nice twist on the old trope of vampires who want to do good, but oh, poor me, I'm an immortal monster and I have to drink blood, blah, blah, blah. But it gives us a look at how sometimes immortality can just be boring as hell. I'll probably head back to the all-nighter for another round. This book was definitely not a one-night stand.
I've read the first 4 issues.
Okay.
And it kind of dropped off my radar for a while because I didn't want to just keep chucking, you know, money at it.
Right.
But it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. They get into more shenanigans.
It's free if you have Comixology Unlimited.
Ooh, I do now. I'll have to go back for it.
See, and I was just really confused because I thought it was going to be the comics version of the Pfeiffer Joan Cusack movie, and this sounded nothing like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was hoping it was a tie-in, but
you know, just
to be fair, we do need more John Cusack in our life.
Joan Cusack.
Oh, even
not
better.
Joan.
Yes, we absolutely need more Joan Cusack in our life.
You seen The All-Nighters? 1987 comedy about last night of college?
I have not seen that one.
Yeah, all right.
And what that means, folks, is Chad is adding it to a list for another podcast, which we'll talk about at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Darren.
Yeah.
Chad, do you have anything?
Well, I've been reading some stuff and, I'm trying to figure out what to read next. So let's start. I kind of have a dumb question.
There are no dumb or stupid questions.
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
So, we know that Bruce Banner has a cousin that went into law.
Yes.
Did he by a chance have another cousin, good sense of humor, liked to laugh, went into farming? Ho, ho, ho.
We don't talk about Cletus.
No, no, no.
And that's all I'm going to say on that.
Okay.
Today I learned that Cletus is the Green Giant's name.
Not just any. The Jolly.
The Jolly Green, of course.
Yeah. Did you have any other questions by chance,
I did.
Chad?
A friend of mine was getting rid of a whole bunch of graphic novels, and there's a whole list of them, some of which I've read and some that I've not, and I was going to ask you guys' opinion on where I should start.
Okay.
And so
typically you open the book and the first page, unless it's a manga, and then you flip it over. And
we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, for example, the first bound volume of The Sandman, Preludes and Nocturnes, is in this list.
Yes. Absolutely read that.
Mm-hmm. Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yep.
Yep.
Daredevil, Born Again.
Absolutely read that.
Mm-hmm.
Death of Superman.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Kirby's New Gods.
Absolutely, yes.
The Uncanny X-Men, The Dark Phoenix Saga.
Sure.
And then The Uncanny X-Men From the Ashes, which I guess is Phoenix Saga Part 2. I don't know. No. I'm sure most of them are fine to read. I want to know which one to read first.
I think you would enjoy the Sandman one the most.
Okay.
Because there is no homework to do for that. Unlike Crisis on Infinite Earths, where you're trying to figure out what the heck is going on from page one. Sandman page one starts there. They did a prequel to it years and years and years later, but it is not mandatory.
I would say that Crisis is decent as a standalone. Like, I don't have any of the stuff that led up to Crisis, and I was able to follow it okay. I was a little bit lost at times. As far as impact on the comics industry as a whole, I would say Death of Superman, because that saved DC Comics. The sales of it did.
It really did.
And it kind of informed a lot of storytelling going forward for like a good decade. With the rise of the Supermen and, you know, Clark returning. And I still have, that particular issue, the one you pulled out of Superman basically having the near-death experience and being saved from heaven slash hell, I'm not sure. Jonathan,
issue 500 of something or other.
Jonathan Kent hit a demon slash ghost masquerading as a Kryptonian in the face with a shovel. And as a result, Jonathan Kent's near-death experience ends, and apparently Clark is brought back. So I think that's a great tie-in to read after the death of Superman. I don't know if it's included in Funeral for a Friend or not.
But I don't know.
I remember absolutely loving that story. So those two together. And of course, obviously then it goes on with Reign of the Superman, and the 90s are weird. I'll say that out loud. But from the death of Superman, you get what eventually starts Nightfall, because Superman's not around to help when Arkham Asylum is essentially broken into.
Yeah.
And it starts Emerald Twilight, because Hal Jordan goes freaking insane out of what happens during Reign of the Superman to Coast City. So it got the wheels in motion for the next two or three decades at DC Comics. So I would say Death of Superman.
Yeah. Either one of those are great starting points. If you want something that doesn't quite read like a traditional comic, Sandman. But if you want something that is absolutely historically important and a good read, Death of Superman.
Thank you. It's really hard to navigate all of the options.
There's so many.
And as you guys pointed out, nearly all of those were, you should read these eventually.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that I hesitated on was New Gods, and that's because I haven't really read it. I'm not familiar a lot with. I love Jack Kirby, and he was a creative genius. But the rest of them, I own, except for Sandman, I own personally as well. Mm-hmm. So I can vouch for the rest of them.
Yeah, and I own the entire Sandman run. So when you finish that, if you want to keep reading, you can just raid my stash.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I might get to raid Justin's stash.
On a very special long box.
So we just kind of reviewed the death of Superman. Are there any other reviews we want to talk about?
You and I have been slowly picking our way through Dark Crisis. otherwise known as
yes.
Dark, otherwise known as now Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Ooh, which, I have that one.
No, no, that's just Crisis on Infinite Earths. This is the official sequel, not counting Infinite Crisis, which was the
which
official
was
sequel.
An official sequel.
Yeah.
Or Final Crisis, which was also an official sequel.
That was supposed to be the last one.
Yeah, and right. yet it's not.
So there's Crisis, New Crisis, no, Final Crisis.
Infinite Crisis. There's also Zero Hour.
Zero Hour, which is not really one of the crises, but it's like a tie-in, tangential. Yeah. It's a tangential crisis.
There's Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis has nothing to do with the Multiverse Crisis, but it is an excellent read.
And then there's Crisis on Multiple Earths.
Isn't Identity Crisis the one where Flash kills everybody?
No, no. That no. is Heroes in Crisis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then there's Midlife Crisis, which is what I'm going through right now.
Welcome to your 40s.
No, Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths. It was originally just Dark Crisis, and then they announced at Comic-Con, psych! It's actually another... It worked on me because I wasn't buying it. And then they're like, it's actually a sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths. And I'm like, son of a... And so I went ahead and bought the first two issues.
Yeah.
How are they?
See, I...
Good.
Yeah, see, I knew this was coming because I picked up the Death of Justice League issue.
So did I.
Which had Pariah,
yep.
the antagonist from the Crisis on Infinite Earths. I'm like, oh, we're going back to this, are we?
Yeah, well, he wasn't really an antagonist as much as just a poor
True.
Schmuck.
Yeah, he was, but he was a plot point, a major plot point in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, he was the idiot that kind of got everything started.
Yes.
And now here he is, and spoilers, now here he is trying to desperately undo what he did.
Why does the guy look like he's trying to cosplay the Green Knight?
That's a good question.
Reasons.
Yeah. Long and short of it, for those of you who have not read Crisis on Infinite Earths, the story is, dear God, almost 40 years old. So, spoilers. But Pariah trying to see the dawn of time, I think.
Some reason.
Yeah, he was doing science experiments to try to see the dawn of time. And he kept being told, don't do it. You'll break something. And sure enough, he broke something. And by something, I mean all of reality.
Wah, wah, wah.
And as a result, he is cursed by whatever entity is causing all of this. And I won't spoil much more of the original Crisis book. But he's cursed to essentially appear in a universe right before it's wiped out. Mm-hmm. So he gets to watch over and over again. And now here we are in Dark Crisis, where apparently he's, you know, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to put everything back the way it is, even if it means, you know, break in a few eggs, because it'll be yeah. fine in the long run.
Hmm. Something like that.
He's nuts now. He's nuts.
Yeah. So I have been enjoying the Young Justice tie-in.
I haven't read that, but I've heard good things about it.
It is very good, because you get a classic team-up of Bart and Tim and Connor.
Good. I miss Connor.
Their, yeah. So they, you know, it's, you know, classic kind of almost 90s-esque feel to it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a fun ride.
Now, yeah, I've read the first two issues of the main run, main storyline, mm-hmm. and issue two was awesome in that it had an amazing Nightwing moment where Nightwing has to face off against Deathstroke, and the villains have decided, you know what? The Justice League's dead. Let's just take out anyone who wears a costume so mm-hmm. no one will think of stopping us ever again. And you've got Nightwing versus essentially the equivalent of an evil Captain America.
Hmm.
And he goes toe-to-toe with him, and it is an awesome kind of climactic fight where you get the sense that if it kept going, Nightwing might have lost, but he would have gone out a badass.
Oh, absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely.
But yeah, it's definitely worth reading. I don't know where they're going with it, because
I bet the Flash dies.
A Flash probably will. No, what I'm mean is, I like John Kent. We've talked about him a couple times now on the show. Mm-hmm. I reviewed his first volume.
He's the one that was a kid that got sucked into a parallel world, yep. came back yep. like 20 years later. To
sure.
The...
Yep. Okay. Now he's Superman of Earth.
Okay.
He's trying to lead with his father's presumed death. And when he unveils the new Justice League, I don't know if the writers were going for this, because I know he's clearly an inexperienced hero, but mm-hmm. he comes across as a bit of a dumbass.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what... Not I wouldn't say more... I wouldn't say naive. Dumbass, but more naive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super hopeful and naive, and you're just like, dude,
his
not
just,
quite ready for this.
His Justice League includes Killer Frost, Harley Quinn, and two Blue Beetles. Because why mm-hmm. have... Why not... Why stop at one when you can have two of them?
And Booster Gold.
And Booster, well, yeah, Booster Gold. It's just, it is simultaneously one of the weakest and more intriguing Justice League lineups.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because you've got Supergirl, so you've got some power there as well. But I kind of want to know them. And, of course, by the end of issue two, it's all fallen apart. And Black Adam's like, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to lead the lead because you clearly can't.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. It's still worth a read. I recommend picking it up.
Yeah, I am curious to see where they go with this. So, do we have any other reviews or any other things we want to talk about?
How about we talk about Extra Life?
Ooh, yeah. Let's do that.
All right. So, every year we raise money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals through our Extra Life campaign. And that is, we play games for 24 hours. Streaming it as much as possible, and we're going to be doing it again probably late October. That's usually what we shoot for, but we'll give you an official date whenever we get close to it. Since 2008, gamers nationwide have raised $87 million for CMN Ooh. Hospitals through Extra Life.
Yes.
$17 million of that in 2020 alone. In the top 30 peer-to-peer fundraising programs, and we're just super excited to be a part of it. I've got a list of our prizes for this year. Every year we try to give people incentives. If you donate any amount, you're entered into a drawing for a few things, including a copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge on the Nintendo Switch.
You can't get that in physical copies.
It is a physical copy.
You can't get it in physical copies.
Well, we did. It's thanks to Limited Run Games.
Man, the power of the Geek Cave.
The power of the Geek Cave. You also get the winner's choice of a Nintendo Switch Online, Xbox Game Pass, or PlayStation Plus membership. And we'll be sure to get you either the premium or the, I don't know, the super unleaded, whatever the versions are. They've got like three different names. You'll get a good tier. And you'll get like a nice amount of games that you can play. This is a new addition. You'll get, someone will get a download code for Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yay!
The movie that came out in theaters. So that's cool. And of course, if you donate $250 or more, you will get to be part of the show. You'll get a guest spot in one of the segments. We'll send you a video chat link and you can join up with us and it'll be great. Virtual high fives will be all around.
Be had by all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if we add more prizes, I'll be sure to let you know. But the best way to find out is just go to our team page. Click on the Extra Life button at the top of deepcavepodcast.com, and you'll be right there. And donate to each of us, all of us, one of us, doesn't matter. Just donate because we don't get the money. It's all going to a good cause anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give us money, go to Good Pods and leave us a tip.
That's sound advice.
$5 so far. Congratulations, guys.
Ooh. Hey, nice.
I will try not to lord it over the other podcasts.
Well, processing was $4.
Dang it. Dang it.
That's not true. I know Good Pods listens. They consistently rank us pretty highly. We are in the top 20 overall for independent podcasts.
What?
Yeah, so... Congratulations, guys, and thank you to everyone who listens, and thank you to people on the Discord, because it's because of you that we continue to grow this weed of a podcast into something magical.
Well, you throw enough manure on it'll grow.
Not that kind of weed, Chad.
Darn it.
The arboreal type. Anyway, that's all I got. The plant type. That still doesn't help. They're both plants. Damn it. Justin, do something. Right. I'm spiraling.
Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
Oh, thank you, Kent. The crossover. When medias collide and form something new and grand, or just something different. Sometimes it's pure with good intentions, like the cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, a show that taught us the dangers of drugs. Sometimes it's just to try and make a quick buck, like Freddy vs. Jason, a movie that taught us that just because you can eat ravioli in a bowl with milk like cereal doesn't mean you should. There's a third kind of crossover, the kind that only happens in Riverdale. That's right, we're looking at the Archie comics and their various mashups.
I have been waiting for this day.
Okay.
This is the greatest day of my life.
Well, I haven't finished yet, so.
Don't care.
These are in really no particular order. A couple of these I had to surreptitiously read, as in somebody, scanned it and uploaded it to YouTube. Others I was able to find through legal means.
Scanned and uploaded to YouTube. That is two levels of trickery there.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So let's get into it, shall we, with Archie Meets the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Archie and Betty run into a malt shop, warning everybody that aliens have arrived. The, quote, aliens were the turtles, dropped off in this universe by Cuddly the Cowlick, interdimensional cow. Don't ask. The turtles are here for only 12 hours, so they grab some disguises and head to a Josie and the Pussycats concert. Because why not? While there, they see Veronica get kidnapped. Making friends with Archie and the gang, they set about on a rescue mission. While Jughead pretends to be a pizza delivery guy to distract the kidnappers, the turtles crash in through the rear and save the day. They all meet back at the malt shop and share fond memories of the last few hours.
Okay.
Archie goes with everything, man. Get ready. Buckle
in.
Oh,
man.
Moving on to Archie Meets the Ramones.
The punk band?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The Archies, the name of Archie and his friend's band, can't seem to get it together as a band. They're not cool or hip. Infighting leads to the band breaking up. Sabrina the Witch stops by and gives Archie a vinyl copy of the Ramones' debut album. As he plays it, he and the other kids are transported back to 1979, where they meet the Ramones. Nicknaming them the Starchies, they teach the kids how to be punk. They embrace their newfound punkdom and take to the stage and blow away the crowd. Next, we have Archie Meets the Punisher.
Yes.
Okay. Glasses are staying on right now. I haven't taken them off yet, but boy, I reached.
He did.
A drug smuggler known as Red is being chased by the mob and the Punisher. Deciding to hide out in Riverdale, we see he looks a lot like Archie. That is, if Archie had a pug nose and buck teeth and wasn't a teenager. While in Riverdale, he assumes the identity of a businessman and is going to make his new base of operations in Riverdale. The mob and the Punisher show up and both mistake Archie for Red. Archie is kidnapped but rescued by the Punisher, who realizes he's not Red. Later, posing as a chaperone at the high school dance, the Punisher tries to apprehend Red, while also rescuing Archie again. Red escapes and kidnaps Veronica. The Punisher and the gang track him down, and he's apprehended.
Right.
Now, the only problem I have with that is that he apprehended Red. He didn't just put two in Red, because that's Punisher.
Yeah. Next, we have Harley and Ivy meet Betty and Veronica.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's on the Geek Cave's special channel.
Ooh. Veronica's dad is going to turn the local wetlands into a strip mall. This, of course, upsets Poison Ivy. Harley and Ivy sneak into a costume party at Veronica's mansion. Thankfully for the plot, Betty and Veronica has dressed up as Harley and Ivy. Insert some magic from Sabrina and a special guest Zatanna, and the two sets of friends swap bodies. What happens next is Betty and Veronica trying to evade the cops and mobsters, while Harley and Ivy love the lives of normal teenagers. Shenanigans ensue, and they swap back. The wetlands are saved, and they walk away friends. Oh, and Reggie gets hit in the head and thinks he's the Joker for a while. Archie versus the Predator.
I've read this one. I thought it was a joke.
No, by the way, they made a sequel.
Of course they did.
Yeah. So the kids are on a tropical vacation. They see a shooting star and all make a wish. The star was, in fact, the Predator's ship. It starts to hunt the kids, but some of them get away. Until it's discovered that the Predator has followed them to Riverdale and begins to take out the entire town. It's down to Archie, Betty, and Veronica. Archie is mortally wounded, but as luck would have it, there's an experimental healing machine in the building. Archie rejoins the fight, all jacked up on go juice, but is, again, overcome. Betty and Veronica are also mortally wounded, but not before almost killing the Predator. The alien feels remorse for hunting them, as it has a crush on Betty. Using the machine, Betty and Veronica heal themselves and the now smitten and obedient Predator. They also use the machine to make him look like Archie, because reasons.
You know, if it bleeds, you can kill it.
Okay.
Archie meets Kiss.
Yep. Yep, I've read this one.
You know, Kiss has been in everything, though.
They have, though.
Kiss was in Scooby-Doo.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So
this
it's
is,
only
this
natural.
Is like Scooby-Doo meets the Harlem Globetrotters. It just happens.
All right.
Yep. So, with the help of Sabrina, the gang wants to add a protection spell around Riverdale, you know, to prevent monsters from getting in. Veronica gets jealous and thinks she can do it better, but instead makes a projection spell that summons monsters who want to suck all the fun out of Riverdale. They are closely followed by beings destined to stop them. Kiss. Hijinks ensue, and the Archies, the gang's band, perform with Kiss and help defeat the monsters. Just before leaving, Kiss gives the kids a makeover to match their new rock style.
We built this city.
We built this city called Riverdale.
Red Sonja and Vampirella meet Betty and Veronica.
Of course
yes.
They did.
Yeah, I saw this when I was working at the comic warehouse, but I did not get to pick it up.
Mysterious occult murders are happening in Riverdale. Enter Red Sonja and Vampirella. They meet up with Betty and Veronica, because of course they do. They go undercover as high school students, because of course they do. Turns out the one behind the killings are Dracula and Vampirella's sister, Draculina. Apparently, all the vampires come from the planet Draculon, and they are trying to find a way home using humans to feed the planet population. Betty and Veronica are taken to Draculon, battle ensues, Vampirella brings the blood rain back to the planet, her sister is defeated, and the day is saved.
Say Draculon one more time. Say Draculon one more time, my friend. I double dare you.
While heading back to Earth from Draculon. While heading back to Earth, the quartet end up in the distant past. The end? With like a million question marks. Archie meets Batman 66.
This one makes sense.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
When the villains decide that Batman is too much to handle, they set their sights on the unsuspecting town of Riverdale. Slowly brainwashing the adults, they take over the town. Veronica uses Dilton's ham radio to signal for help, somehow getting the Batcave. Dick and Barbara go undercover as new students in Riverdale High. Soon, they spring into action, but fall into a nefarious trap set by the Gotham's rehomed villains. Batman arrives to save them. As Robin and Batgirl and the gang flee in the Batboat to safety, Batman is outnumbered and captured. The kids regroup and confront the villains in their own hero costumes, unbrainwash the adults, free Batman, and save the day. Everyone does the Batusie.
Right.
Archie versus Sharknado.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
why not?
Sharknado.
You got to do it.
I'm going to interrupt you just a little bit here, Justin. Sharknado is what keeps me writing novels during National Novel Writing Month. Because at some point, there are like 8 of these fucking movies.
Yeah.
That have been made.
Yeah.
In one of them, I'm pretty sure that they went back in time.
I think so, yeah.
You know? By jumping into a shark's mouth. You know? So it's like whenever I hit a roadblock, whenever I got some writer's problems, I'm just like, you know what? Sharknado had like a bunch of movies.
Well, that's just what happens whenever a surfer loses their leg. The leg wasn't digested. It was just sent back in time.
Huh.
So as a tie-in to Sharknado 3, oh hell no, there's not much to say. Tornadoes filled with sharks terrorize the kids. Life is lost. Limbs are severed. And one of the sharks ends up wearing Jughead's hat, all in glorious cartoon fashion.
Now, it's worth noting, I did read this one.
Mm-hmm.
And Sabrina the Teenage Witch is responsible for a lot of these crossovers. She dies in this one.
Does that mean it's going to be done?
I guess. I don't know.
So, I've got one more.
So, apparently not. No.
Mm-hmm.
This one isn't so much a traditional crossover, but it's a genre crossover. And I'm talking about Afterlife with Archie.
Oh, yeah.
And it puts the gang in a horror setting, specifically a zombie apocalypse. Gone are the happy faces and cartoony art, replacing them with realistic art and tragic tales. Jughead brings his dog to Sabrina for help. He'd been hit by a car and is in bad shape. Unfortunately, the dog dies before Sabrina or her aunts can help. And bringing something back that's already dead is against all the rules. Sabrina doesn't care and sneaks off with the Book of the Undead to help Jughead. Unfortunately, what returns is an undead hellhound that bites Jughead. Soon he becomes a zombie and attacks the kids at a school dance. Sure enough, the virus spreads and only a handful of survivors escape Riverdale. As they try to find safety, they realize that Riverdale was just the start and the zombies are popping up everywhere. On top of that, they're being chased by Jughead and the rest of the town. We learn stories about the character's history, some sad, some lighthearted, but all to drive home the point that life will never be the same again. As the second volume came to an end, we learned that the founders of Riverdale made a pact with the local witches to keep them safe. In return, it would cost the life of one child from each of the three main families over the course of 3 generations. Jughead was the last sacrifice, and now the old gods who protected Riverdale are unleashing hell on Earth. The comic went on hiatus in 2016, so we may never know how this plays out. Mm-hmm. So there is everything you never wanted to know about Archie and his many crossovers.
Yeah.
I think our lives are made richer for it.
Yeah. I think so, too. And Chad did not take off his glasses, so I'm calling that a win.
So there's 6 Sharknado movies and then 2 spinoff films.
Yeah.
Lava Lantula and Two Lava Two Lantula.
I want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to check out our other shows, You Want Me to Watch What?, which is that podcast I mentioned earlier, the Week 3 podcast, the Sporadic TLDR, and on YouTube, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Look for us on social media, including Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and Discord. Links to all can be found at the wonderful geekcavepodcast.com. And say hi when you get there. Be sure to tell your friends about us. We're on all your favorite podcast servers and, as mentioned earlier, Good Pods. And now, here's your out-of-context comic panel. We see the X-Men inhabited by the Phoenix Force. they are being held off in a standoff by Spider-Man.
Hold us off? What exactly do you plan to do, little man?
Hold you off with the power of laughter, of course. Knock, knock!
Oh, jeez.
For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been the wonderful world of comics. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.